And I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with us, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we will be there momentarily. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. It's hard to believe, but we are just about past now, actually, the halfway point of our Missions Emphasis Month, and I trust that the Lord has burdened your heart for missions and for missionaries and to seek to be a missionary right where you are, to share your faith with a lost and a dying world, and to ask the Lord to bring those along your pathway, friends, family, that need to know the Lord, that you might be a witness for them, that you might show them the light of the gospel, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And up to this point in the month, along with the visiting missionaries and the guest evangelists at the beginning of the month, we've looked at several things from the Word of God regarding missions. The first thing we covered was why a church ought to have a missions emphasis, why a church ought to put a heavy focus, emphasis on missions, why missions ought to be a priority for a church. And then we looked in the book of Acts and looked at the fact that the New Testament is a missionary book. But then this past Wednesday night, we looked in the book of Psalms and saw that even in the Old Testament, we can find the thread, we can find the theme, the topic of missions, and came to the conclusion that the entire Bible, the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is a missions-minded book. And we even looked at the fact that even way back in Genesis, the Lord had, even before the foundation of the world, a plan to save men and women, boys and girls, from their sin, and that was through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His death on the cross, His burial, and His resurrection, and in doing so, defeating Satan and hell and the devil and sin and the world, and seeking to redeem all of mankind when He rose from the grave. And this morning there in your bulletin, we had mentioned that next week we're going to collect our annual Faith Promise Commitment Card. Now, that's something we've done since I've been here, and I think it's something that you've done even before we got here, Faith Promise. But I don't think we've ever dedicated a message or a Bible study to the principle of Faith Promise and what exactly Faith Promise Missions is. And this morning, that's what I want us to look at, and that is the Faith Promise Plan. And here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we find that Paul is writing concerning the collection for the saints at Jerusalem. You have here the churches of Achaia were very zealous in their giving at the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth was one of these churches. And we see here that God's plan of giving is laid down for us in verses 6 through 8. And it's in the faith promise offering that we also can zealously give to missions by faith as the Lord provides to us. You're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And notice there, if you would, verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 through 8. The Bible says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And so again, for a few moments this morning, I'd like us to see just for a few moments what the faith promise plan is. And now to understand what faith promise missions is all about, we have to first understand what faith promise is not, what it is not. The very first thing faith promise is not is faith promise is not a pledge. It's not that. It's not like we would sit here and do it, you know, almost auction style. Do I have 20 here? Do I have 30 here? Do I have 40 there? No, that's not what it is. It is not a pledge. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And so we see that it is not a pledge. It's not something that we put you on the spot about and say, okay, this is what you pledged, and now if you don't pay it, you know, we're going to send somebody to convince you to pay your debts. No, that's not what faith promise is. But not only that, it's not something that someone will come to collect. 2 Corinthians 8:12, the Bible says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And so, you know, next week we'll collect our faith promise cards, and you'll pray about what the Lord would have you to do. And by faith, that's what you'll put on the faith promise card. You'll turn it in. We'll count it up and say, okay, this is what was committed for the year. This is our goal. But nobody's going to, you know, if 1 week we miss a week and we look and say, oh, well, who didn't give this week? And then, we sent a couple of heavy guys to your house and say, you know, I'm here to collect. No, we don't do that. No one's going to come to collect it. Then we see it's not something, you know, you sit down and then figure out how much you can give. Ecclesiastes 11:5, the Bible says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how thy bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And then the fourth thing that faith promises not is it is not taken away from what you already give to the church, and that's our tithes and our offerings. It is above and beyond the tithe and the offering given to the Lord for missions by faith. And so what is faith promise? Well, faith promise is very simply, it is just something between you and God. It's between you and the Lord. It's something that he lays on your heart to give towards missions in the work of evangelizing the world. It is waiting upon God to tell you just how much he wants you to give for reaching the world for Christ. So then you trust him to supply it. And then you and the missionary become partners in faith and both trust the Lord. Romans 1:17, the Bible says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so we see here, and this is where 2 Corinthians chapter 9 comes in, the faith promise is in accord with the spirit of the New Testament. You notice there again, verse number 7, the Bible says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so we purpose in our heart what the Lord has laid on our heart to give, and then we give it. It's that simple. It's that easy. And we know it's giving. It's a spiritual exercise. Giving is another form of worship, and that's why we have it when we come into the church service, because it's another way that we worship the Lord. And so this morning, as we think about faith promise, I want to give you several thoughts on faith promise this morning. Number one, the faith promise plan is scriptural. The faith promise plan is scriptural. You say, how do you know that? Well, we know that the church is what is commissioned to go into all the world. Look, if you would, there. We were in here for Sunday school, but go back, if you would, Matthew chapter 28. Gospel of Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says here in verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so we see here that our Lord's final command ought to be our first priority, and that's to evangelize the world, to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. And we are commissioned to go into all the world. And it was God who calls, and it is the church who sends missionaries into all the world. We see that in Acts chapter 13 and Romans chapter 10. And when these missionaries are sent by the churches, we see that they are to be supported by the churches. The church is to support the missionaries. And so because of that, we give each week by faith the amount that God lays on our heart as God supplies for the furtherance of the gospel. And that's exactly what the Faith Promise Plan is. The Faith Promise Plan is a faith ministry. 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that we cannot please God any other way. We must have faith in order to please God. And so the Faith Promise Plan we see here this morning is scriptural. But then secondly, we see the Faith Promise Plan is sensible. The Faith Promise Plan is sensible because it encourages us as God's people to look to God for the supply. It encourages us to look to God to meet our needs. It encourages us to trust and rely that, you know what, God said He's going to meet our needs, and He's going to do just that. He's going to meet our needs. Because you see, you and I this morning, we are pilgrims. We are strangers on this earth looking to God. And when God blesses, we are encouraged. And that's what the testimony of faith promise giving is. Because God will bless those who seek to be a blessing to others. But not only that, not only does it encourage, but it builds up the saints. It builds you up. You notice there, you're still in Matthew chapter 28. There in verse number 19 or verse number 20, the Bible says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." This morning in Sunday school, we gave four types of places that a church ought to be. One of the things we said a church ought to be is a place where people are built up, where people are encouraged in their faith, where people are taught their faith. And one of the things that Faith Promise will do is to strengthen that faith, will build that faith. And whenever we take a step of faith, and whenever that step of faith is taken, and God blesses that, that person becomes stronger in the faith because he knows that God blesses faithfulness. Go over, if you would, to, let's see here. The book of Acts. I'm sorry, book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we'll begin there at verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You notice that phrase in verse 2, we have access by faith. And we see that when we take our steps by faith, then our faith is strengthened because we're being faithful to God. And we know, above all, God blesses faithfulness. Now listen this morning, we're talking about this in relation to missions giving. And we're talking about this in relation to faith promise giving. But when we say that God blesses faithfulness, we're not just talking about in the terms of giving. Yes, if we're faithful in our giving, He will bless. But let me encourage you this morning, if we're faithful in our church attendance, He will bless. If we are faithful in our Bible reading, He will bless. If we're faithful in our prayer life, He will bless. And if we're faithful in our church attendance, and we're faithful in our prayer life, and we're faithful in our Bible reading, then our faith becomes strengthened. Our faith becomes stronger. And that is what the Lord wants. He wants our faith to become stronger. Because there will come times in our lives when go over, if you would, Hebrews chapter 11. Because there are going to come times in our lives when it feels like our faith leaves us stranded like a broken down car on the side of the road. And those are the times we need our faith to be strengthened the most. And that is the time we need our faith to be at its strongest. Look there, if you would, Hebrews chapter 11. And notice there, if you would, beginning in verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 25. The Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let me explain to you what's going on here. Verse number 25 is continuing what is happening in the first 24 verses. The first 24 verses, we have listed what is known as the Hebrew Hall of Faith. And all of these Old Testament saints who have passed on before this book of Hebrews has been written, and they have passed on in their faith. And the Bible here tells us, the writer of Hebrews tells us that all these people that have come before in verses 1 through 24, they have chosen to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In other words, they found that the best place to be was with the people of God. With one another, and I have written in my Bible, in the margin of my Bible, in this together. And listen, as Christians this morning, as a people of God this morning, we ought to be just that. We ought to be in this together. You notice what it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, if you know anything about Egypt in the Bible and about the typology of Egypt in the Bible, you know Egypt is a typology for the world and the things of the world and sin. And so what the writer of Hebrews is saying here is that they counted Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. They counted Christ greater than the treasures of the world. And may I say this morning, Christ is indeed greater than the world. Christ is indeed greater than whatever this world can offer you. This world will offer you some magic beanstalk beans, and you'll never find Jack because it doesn't exist. And that's what the world wants to offer you. And then notice there, verse number 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Let me tell you this morning, it's a lot easier in the world. It really is. It's a lot easier to enjoy the pleasures of sin. But it's going to take some strong faith to say, you know what? Christ is greater than the sin. Christ is greater than the world. Christ is greater than the pleasures of sin for a season. Continuing on, verse number 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot rabbit perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophetess who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Here, finally, here through 32 verses, finally, the writer of Hebrews just says, what more can I say? What more can I say about what faith can do for the believer, what faith can do for the Christian? He says, time would fail me to tell you of everybody that lived by faith. And then notice there, verse number 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good rapport through faith, received not the promise, but verse number 40, God having provided some better thing for us. Folks, this morning, when our faith is strengthened, God has something better for us. Again, this morning, just I feel like the writer of Hebrews here in verse number 32, time would fail me. We could go to scripture after scripture of where we find those who by faith took that step of faith, and their faith was strengthened as a result. We think about faith this morning, and faith involves everybody. It's available to all who will take part: dad, mom, son, daughter. And not only that, as we think about faith promise missions this morning, whole families and churches are blessed by using this plan. It supplies the need in a dignified and honorable manner. No whining or begging or gimmicks. No selling cake pies or suppers or records, and on it goes. No gambling, no lottery tickets, no drawing for prizes, no, you know, high pressure money raising campaigns. It's entirely voluntary on the part of each individual for the cause of missions. And so we see this morning the faith promise plan is scriptural. The faith promise plan is sensible. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see the faith promise plan is successful. You know, many churches across this land and across this nation can testify to this. The mission offerings of these churches oftentimes multiply double, triple, quadruple. The general offering of these churches go up as a result. Many churches have been an example of this. You've heard me tell the account that when we got to Oklahoma, we had 15 people, supported 21 missionaries. See, how on earth could a church that size support that many? By faith. By faith. There's three ways that we can make giving the mission successful this morning. Number one, make sure that you are in the will of God. You see, this morning you can't hear the voice of God unless we're right with God. Luke 6:38, the Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." And then not only that, expect the testing. I guarantee you this morning, if you give the missions, the devil will not like that step of faith you're taking, and it will not go unchallenged. So be ready for him. James 4:7, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The faith promise plan is successful. And then fourthly and finally, the faith promise plan is stable. You see, we don't raise just a large one-time offering and then send many missionaries to the field and then, you know, let them down and forget about them. No, we support our missionaries by faith until they return off of the field. And then when they return off of the field, we put that towards another missionary. Now, if by chance they're on the field and the missionary dies and their widow is still in the field, we continue to support that widow. Because the Bible commands us, we're to care for the widows and the fatherless and to take care of them. Look, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5 this morning. You see, this morning, what God has raised up will stand. What God raises up will stand. 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. And notice there, if you would, verses 1 through 5. First Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, they behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day." We see here that Dagon, the Philistine god, fell. But the ark of God stood. The ark of God remained. And what God raises up will stand. And the faith promise plan of missions giving has stood. It is stable. And so this morning, as we think about missions and missionaries and supporting our missionaries, not only through giving, but through prayer. Next week, we'll collect our faith promise commitment cards. I'd ask that you begin praying now. about what the Lord would have you to do through missions in this coming year. And we can all have a part. Again, it's whatever man purposeth in his heart. No one's going to say this is the set amount that you need to give. No, we don't do that. It's between you and the Lord. Well, let me encourage you. Have a part. Get involved. Maybe you've never given to missions before. I guarantee you, if you'll start, you'll receive a blessing for having done so. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.